Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Grady IU number 483. This is Kevin DeFrango. On one side of me is Jeremy Mays. What is going on, good sir?
Well, hello, everyone. What's going on, guys?
On the other side, Chris Calamita. How are things up north, good sir?
Oh, way up north from old Columbus, up here in old Warren, Michigan. Things are doing pretty good here. Weather here has been, you know, weird, kind of just up and down. I don't know. I'm just, what the hell am I even talking about right now? Things are fine. Let's move on.
I was like, this is a basic conversation thing. I'm not asking you any, like, pertinent information here. It's okay. How was your day?
It's small talk. I hate small talk.
It was saying hello.
Well, Kevin added all that. How are things up north? And I'm like, just say how are you doing tonight, Chris?
Well, Jeremy's in the south. I'm not really in the middle because I'm way closer to Chris than to Jeremy. Although that is a shorter trip to your place, thankfully, since you moved north a little bit.
Yeah, yep. I haven't taken that trip back up there, but I've looked at it, so.
It's beautiful scenery. I love it, actually.
Yep. Yeah. So you go through Ohio, and you're like, wow. Boy, things sure shit the bed when you get out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, you kind of lose that mountain region after you get out of Cincinnati, and things get pretty boring.
Did they ever rebuild that giant Jesus in the water on 75?
I don't go that route anymore.
Ever
since you guys moved to Charlotte, I haven't taken 75. It was kind of a 50, because the route that we take was kind of the alternate to 75, but it is actually quicker now to go that route outside of 75.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about, though? Did you guys ever see that?
Yeah.
It's obviously for a church, but when you're driving, all of a sudden there is a giant half statue of Jesus in water, and I honestly, like, being an idiot driving, I'm like, why'd someone build Poseidon in the middle of the field? What's going on? And then you're like, oh, but apparently it got hit by lightning years ago and burned down. So I don't know if they ever rebuilt it. That's how long it's been since I've been back up there. But that seems like a project you'd rebuild. Because why not?
Well, and I'm thinking that might be the place that also built, like, the what was supposed to be the life size of Noah's Ark.
Like the that's in Kentucky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, I guess we should get the rest in.
I've never seen in my life. Yeah, no, I don't.
There it is.
I definitely do not get down to Ohio enough to have ever seen this. Although I'm shocked, I've never heard of it. I guess if you're driving up down the road and you just all of a sudden just see that, get by the water.
Yeah, 75 has got some goofy shit on there. Right outside of, I believe it's Knoxville, on the way into Kentucky. There is a strip joint next to a church. In the strip joint's parking lot is a giant cross. So you can't miss the thing. And you're like, couldn't you guys have built... Okay. A little further down is like this weird truck stop thing where they've got giant dinosaurs all over the place. Mm-hmm. See, so when people make fun of the South, well, the creativity's kind of there, though. So,
well, yeah, that's about where it starts and ends too.
Yep.
it's creative. Dumb as a pile of bricks, but it is creative.
If someone gave me some giant dinosaurs and said you got to put them in your backyard, you know where those giant dinosaurs would be? In my backyard, because that would be awesome.
I'd even go with miniature dinosaurs in the backyard.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Little raptor things you could buy out of Sky Miles. That'd be even cooler.
Yeah, I'd be all for that. Maybe it'd scare away the deer.
Well, Mars would be squirrels since Bella doesn't hunt. And they continually get on the power lines around here now and knock our power out because apparently the Duke Energy has this, the power grid of the 1810s. So, yep.
Squirrels? Really? Yes, that's what they're blaming.
They get on the lines, they start chewing something, knock out a portion of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to get with this century and put that shit underground.
Kevin, do you know how much that would cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, go do it. And then you at least don't justify you raising our rates every fucking year.
At least I'll feel like I'm getting something of value out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, around here, we'll get the rest of it real quick. See, around here, I always say they need to bury the power lines. Because I've never been in a community where people run into telephone poles more than they do here. That's not an exaggeration. At least twice a day, someone in this city is wrecking people's power by hitting telephone poles. They've gotten to the point now where they don't even replace them. They just kind of push the pole back together and then put another pole next to it in the hopes that, well, you know,
it'll
keep the other one up.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know. Anyway, so Crown Jewel's pretty awesome, right?
I know
that's not what we're starting with. So
that's fine. Are you the only one that watched it? Did you watch it, Chris?
Yeah, I watched it, but I didn't watch it until like Sunday.
Well, I watched it live, baby.
You watched it live?
I worked from home, so I had it on in the background.
How about that Shane McMahon, huh? Oh my God, did that one moment turn Shane McMahon into the most hated heel in the business? Holy crap, tonight was every mention of Shane booed. Every moment he was on screen.
Well, he at least tried to salvage it by saying, look, I know I'm not the best in the world. So, you know. But... yeah, that show was dumb anyways, and it was even dumber watching the thing. Like, you know what they were trying to get through with Strowman and Brock Lesnar, but it didn't work. People just saw it as, well, Strowman's done. So, and now apparently he has two bad knees anyways. So, what are you going to do? The Universal title needs to go. Just bring back the world title.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the solution because you still have the same people fighting for it, the same writing team, the same atmosphere. It's just something to call the title that just said that hey, the universe is bigger than the world.
Yeah, and I just meant that as a joke because you know
Okay. Get
the bad juju off of it, but
yeah,
that ain't gonna happen. So it doesn't matter.
It's not gonna happen, but.
Never seen a title get like vexed so much like that one. So, no Crown Jewel.
They have the idea in their head. They want that. Well, now that Roman Reigns is out, the idea is back in play that Brock Lesnar, if he fights before WrestleMania, he's going into the UFC as the Universal Champion, and they're crossing their fingers that he wins the title. He wins that UFC heavyweight title. He has both titles, and he doesn't get hurt, and they can go on to WrestleMania with Brock as the UFC Heavyweight Champion and Universal
Champion. Wow. It's not a bad plan, to be honest.
No, I mean...
That'd be pretty insane.
It would be insane. If it all worked out for him, it would absolutely be insane, and maybe worth it. I mean, they've... You know, all the work that they did, I mean... Seth Rollins covered in his promo. Everything they did about getting this title back on Raw every week, it's out the window now. But, I mean, Brock is working Survivor Series, so it's not like it'll be disappear for too long, and then they're going to close out the year, you know, TLC is going to be enough for pay-per-view, so at that point, it doesn't even matter if there's a Universal title defense on it or not.
Hell. It's just funny. It's not funny because of the circumstances, but, like, when Roman made that giant deal about how, you know, I'm here, I'm going to defend it every week, I'm going to do this and this, and we're right back to the same scenario. We just had a few months off from the norm. But
yeah, literally 2 months.
What did you say?
Literally 2 months. I think.
Good Lord. Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
They're obviously... I don't know. There's just kind of a void in general at the top of Raw that, it's just really strange. Turning Dean heel and losing Roman Reigns in the same week really kind of... The top competition's kind of... It kind of leaves something to be desired on Raw.
Well, they're doing their damnedest to make Drew McIntyre a top guy. Because that was some hateable shit last night.
Oh, yeah. I'm still not sure if I hated it in a good way or hated it in a bad way.
No. I hated it in both ways. Because Kurt looks old.
He does look old. And he had to wrestle 2 days after doing all that. Two or three days after doing all that. All that travel, so I don't blame Kurt for looking lethargic at all. But man, the way he was booked as well, I mean, he looked like a broken down old man by Monday night.
That sucked.
It does suck. It is sad to watch.
Right. I mean, I don't know. It really made you dislike Drew McIntyre. That's for sure. Because that crowd was pretty behind him. You know, when he first showed up, because he's from over there. I mean, not exactly England, but. And then when he beat him with his own, he had an Olympic slam, and he made him tap out. I was like, it's slimy.
I don't think they were booing. It's like they were stunned silence at what was going on with McIntyre dominating the whole match and just picking Kurt Angle apart, and Kurt getting very little, of a comeback. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a weird situation. It'd be interesting to see, obviously Drew McIntyre it's a huge win for him, but it would have been a huge win for him if it was a competitive match. At least then he would have beaten the great Kurt Angle instead of a broken down old man.
Yeah, and I wonder if part of that's like the story, but at the same time, shouldn't that kind of be what happens? Kurt's in his 50s, he's not an active wrestler, Drew's young, bigger, stronger, all that stuff. Shouldn't that have been the story of that match? Like, Kurt really didn't stand a chance.
And they didn't really sell it. The announcers went with the, I'm feeling hopped up after doing good against a bunch of other old guys, for the most part.
Yeah, this is a guy, I don't remember, did he lose clean to Dolph Ziggler?
Yes, he did. Yeah, that was a clean finish. Drew didn't do anything during that match.
Yeah, so it's like...
That was bad, too. I think any, kayfabe thoughts I could have about, man, this is big, that's a big win for Drew McIntyre. He's gonna be the next big thing. It's just completely offset by just, God, poor Kurt. I mean, you don't... Either you use the legends, either you honor their legendary status, or you just don't use them. You don't use legends as, total put-over guys. You don't destroy them like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bad weekend for older wrestlers anyways. Kevin, did you see Crown Jewel at all?
No, I didn't see a lick of it. But I did see, and I'm assuming this is where you're going, that picture that Triple H put up of...
That's part of it.
Of his torn pec.
Yeah.
But you could even tell, you didn't see it. In that infamous Irish whip in which both Undertaker and Triple H went against the barricade, you could really tell how jacked up his arm was at that point, because that was part of the reason why it went sideways.
It had played a part, but man, two guys who've been around that long, two all-time greats, both going into the barricade at the same time, neither could figure out who was supposed to take that move. That was amateur hour stuff. That was the saddest part of the match. Even sadder than the moonsault.
So Kevin's recollection of this match was from me going, "Oh my God, Shawn Michaels just tried killing himself." Like,
yeah, I
had a broken nose, right?
I did try to get around to it, but we just kind of had a number of things on the docket this weekend to get done that did not provide me the opportunity. Because you just mentioned, you're like, you need to see this match just because of the basically the train wreck, and then like a bunch of other people are like comparing that pay per view to Plan 9 from Outer Space. Just like, wow, man. So people were talking about that it was so bad it was good kind of a thing for that, for Crown Jewel. So I guess, and it seems like that match was like the jewel within that crown, honestly, as far as the kind of, I don't know if that's hate watching when it's so bad that you're kind of entertained by it.
See, that's the problem. I don't know who those people were. I wasn't entertained by it at all. And I just felt bad after a while. Like, okay, one, the hyperbole was getting really ridiculous. Because Michael Cole actually at one point goes, and this is why these four are considered the greatest ever. Now listen, there's nothing to sneeze at with Kane's career. Not a thing. But I don't think he makes the top 20 of greatest ever. You know? Like,
oh, right.
It was just ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous.
I struggle to put Kane in the top 50. I seriously thought out top 50.
I mean, well, all right.
You just stick with WWE. It's a tough one. Maybe he would.
Yeah, I mean, there's easily, he's bounced out of the top 20 without even probably barely thinking about it.
Yeah, top 20, top 25, even top 30. There's no non-kayfabe justification.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I could imagine that hyperbole would get grating. And just the fact, I mean, again, like, it's not meant as a slight, but Kane definitely looks like he's into his mayoral gig and maybe is not keeping up with the workout regimen that he once used to. And Shawn Michaels, again, like, I don't even need to watch the pay-per-view, but he just doesn't look young because he's not young. And Undertaker's looked bad for at least three WrestleManias. Like, there were a lot of combustible elements in that match to make it not go right.
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah, the match had a lot going against it. Again, I think there was too much. There was even for a tag match like this, I think there was a lot of pressure put on Shawn, to essentially carry the match and be the best guy in the match, which was probably unfair. Obviously the injury to Triple H was a big deal. The amount of time the match got.
Yes. Oh, that's just me.
How much time?
Because I was right in the middle of saying something, and Kevin plowed right through. And I'm like, "What the fuck? What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, that makes sense." I didn't even know what I was saying. but
outstanding. And I don't know what we were saying now about the Chris was talking about the time on this match.
How long the match went? Yeah.
How long was that?
25 minutes?
Yeah, the 25. Yeah, 25 minutes.
Oh my god.
It but was. That's as long as the Triple H Kane or Triple H Undertaker match.
Well, that sucked too.
Yeah, but no. But what I'm saying is, theoretically, this match should have gone longer with more people in it.
Oh, I'm glad it didn't. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean,
because they started hitting like big moves early, so I was starting to think like, you know, okay, this might not go very long. Okay, they're playing this smart. Then, you know, obviously Triple H got hurt, and then Undertaker and Kane just beat on Shawn Michaels forever and ever and ever. I guess technically that may have been the best part of the match because they did such simple stuff that there was no, you couldn't screw it up, but it was long and boring. Then Shawn starts his comeback. He's doing his best, but there's just nothing much going on there. I mean, Undertaker and Kane, you know, this point, you're not going to get anything good out of them. You know, Shawn's coming out back after 9 years.
Yeah.
It was never, I think people's 9 years, over 50 years, you know, 53 years old. You know, I know people can say that, you know, Shawn came back better than ever after 4 years. But
no.
He was still barely, you know, he was, at that point, he was still not even 40 at that point. He wouldn't have been in 2002.
Yeah, if he's 53, he would have been 37 then.
Yeah. Younger than AJ Styles is in Samoa Joe are now. Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised by Samoa Joe age, by the way. But no, now I remember what I was saying. It's like, you know when you always see those like nostalgia shows? It's like big time wrestling with Jimmy Valiant, Scott Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, and this, you're like, oh man, like I always bitch about that demolition stuff. That's what this match seemed like to me. Just these guys, like, it's obviously not our place to tell someone to give it up. But after a while, come on. I mean, the least embarrassing guy in there was a toss-up between Kane and Triple H. And even then, all right, I mean, the level's kind of low. But I did like, and I was trying to figure out what he said, someone put a GIF of it up, or GIF, whatever it's called, of Shawn Michaels telling Triple H, we're too old for this shit. As they're laying in the corner together. And I'm like, Shawn realized it. And you know, of all the things Shawn's gone through, whatever, he knows what he knows if he's got it. He knows if he doesn't, and I'm pretty sure he knows. It's not time anymore. But I gotta back off of it a little. I don't want like their last match to be that awful hunk of garbage.
Well, you know, I guess we can pretend it didn't happen. it's again the memories of the whole setup to, you know, 4 straight years of WrestleManias with Undertaker versus Shawn twice, and then Undertaker versus Triple H twice. The moment at the end of Mania, you know, 28, Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah,
I get that they were except for Shawn. So Undertaker and Triple H were going to keep wrestling, but you know, you're really pissed over all over that moment. Undertaker has more than pissed over all over, you know, every moment he should have called it quits. Triple H, this is interesting because he is, you know, he's had at least once a year at WrestleMania. He's had at least a good match every year since then. You know, definitely call his match with Rollins and at 33 a good match. It was a mixed tag with a lot of bells and whistles, but this, you know, match was ended up being the best match of the night at WrestleMania this past year. But man, these last two matches have really, I don't know if he's the one who was exposed or not. If it was Undertaker more, it probably is Undertaker more. But it doesn't but these matches are they're tough for Triple H's resume, and now whatever they were going to do with Triple H and Batista is very well looks like it's out the window.
Yeah, he ain't coming back before then. I mean, was that? How long is a torn pectoral take? It sounds horrible.
I'm not sure what the average recovery time on that one is, but. You know, again, just from an age perspective, it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
So Triple H can say he'll be back stronger than ever, and I somehow doubt that just because he will be even older than ever. But the guy does keep himself in great shape, and I do think that his opponents kind of, ended up showing more of what he has, because all the stuff that... Because I'm trying to think, who was Rousey's partner? Because, like, everyone he's kind of fought his, I feel like in Kurt. Recent years, has been Kurt. Able to hold up.
Yeah, it was Kurt. I mean, they were both, maybe, I guess you could argue that Kurt was the worst person in the match. Or at least took some, from what I remember the match, took a while to really get going. And then he started you know, firing off his usual big spots. You know, then things really took off for him. I mean, just again, that match had a lot of bells and whistles, you know, scripted and practiced,
time.
So it wasn't nothing crazy bumps really attempted. Yeah, so that was a different type of thing. I'm sure Triple H could still do something like that. But again, I don't know. I don't know what a torn pec, is going to do to the guy. It's going to do for his range of motion. What's going to do for his, I don't think we've seen Triple H's last match, but I don't. He won't let this be. He won't, unless a doctor tells him he absolutely can't get back in the ring again. He will not let this be his last match.
Well, I think I'd be all right with that. So, I mean,
Yeah, and once again, Triple H, as you said, Triple H was the least of everyone's worries in the match, other than him, tearing his pec. Early in the match.
Yeah, you knew stuff was weird because he just disappeared. And whenever someone disappears, you know something's wrong. And Sean was getting beat on and beat on and beat on and beat on and beat on. And I'm going, all right, Triple H is really hurt, right? Because where the hell did he go?
But, I guess at that point I had already drank enough to turn off that logical part of my brain because I didn't really see the injury. But yeah, right. But then why wasn't the audible called to end the match early, to go to the finishing sequence?
You gotta give the Saudis, I'm sorry, you have to give the Crown Jewel people their money's worth, so.
Oh yeah, that. Hulk Hogan referring to Crown Jewel like it was a place.
Yep.
Oh, come on, you told me that Hulk Hogan didn't screw up, and now...
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He did exactly what he was supposed to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they don't want you knowing that Crown Jewel was in Saudi Arabia. So, yeah, he did
Oh, his my stuff God. Perfectly. That's okay. I got you. That's hilarious. Oh, my Lord.
You know where Crown Jewel is?
Yeah, it's in Crown Jewel. It's right beside Death Valley.
A little bit around from parts unknown. Yeah. Well, they did mention like one of the city names, I believe. So, it doesn't really matter, but it's also just kind of funny. So, whatever.
Yeah, we got 9 more years of this stuff coming to us.
Oof.
That's still the craziest thing, honestly, about that story to me. Like, when someone's like, 10-year contract, I'm like, why would anyone sign a 10-year contract? Like, unless you're a player... Like, why a 10-year contract with someone? Like, that seems crazy. They wouldn't commit to any of their independent contractors for 10 years. And why do that to some sporting authority in the middle of goddamn nowhere? Because, and honestly, this is the other thing that I guess at least they tied it into a trip overseas anyway. But those guys always seem to be dogging it when it comes... Like, you can tell that they've been through that much travel, I guess, in that short a time period.
Well, I think part of the problem is they do all that travel, and then they parade them around like animals, going all this different stuff, and it's like, shit, we just flew how long? And now we got to go do this function. Like, hey, how about you let us sit out? How about that? That'd be great for a little while, but I know it's not WWE's MO, but still, damn.
I do think that shows like, well, you know, Raw and SmackDown this week are partially a byproduct of that, although I did always feel like the English shows were... they never put forth their best foot to me when they were over there.
Yeah, these UK shows are ridiculous. The writing team acts like they're the ones who are exhausted, so they can't write any you know, storylines or promo segments. So it's a bunch of long matches, which was what Raw. Although I will say, I thought, you know, once again, SmackDown was actually good tonight because they had a number of really good matches that got a lot of time. But Raw was a pretty bad show.
Well, I think since this is what we wanted to lead off with, what was the highlight of SmackDown to you then? Because I thought the show was boring, to be honest. Outside the Usos and New Day, I was just kind of bored. And one other segment, which I was very happy about.
Yeah, to me, you're a crazy person if you weren't excited about the Becky Lynch segment.
Yep.
For two reasons, at least.
That was excellent. What more do you want? Those two segments, you know, the Rey versus Andrade, even Jeff Hardy versus Samoa Joe, for what it's worth. What more do you want from a 2-hour episode of SmackDown?
Well, for me, I wanted Nikki Cross to win, but...
Well, that was never going to happen.
I know. So this one's not... All right. So I knew as soon as she came out, she wasn't winning, but why debut her, unless it's a one-off, but why debut her just to have her lose?
It probably was just a one-off.
That's what I'm hoping.
She'll go back to NXT for a little while.
Yeah, I kind of figured that it, you know, they, A, since she's from Scotland, if I'm not mistaken, that she gets some recognition since they're in England. B, you got to lose in your hometown, and Manchester's about as close as they're going to get to Scotland. C, you know, at least the people that are in the know about Nikki Cross understand that they should give that she should give Becky Lynch a good match, and she did give Becky Lynch a good match. So, yeah. I guess considering that Sanity got more TV time introducing Nikki Cross than they have in the past 2 months, you know, I'm fine with Nikki going back down to NXT. I don't know if she will or not. I would think it was just a one-off just because you don't really want Becky Lynch beating all of the people that are going to be on the women's SmackDown team right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you're kind of stuck with Lynch beating someone from elsewhere, and that happened to be Nikki Cross.
Yeah, I mean, until she made the call out, it really did look like the entire Rousey Lynch buildup was going to be, you know, all promos, which I don't mind at all. The promos have been excellent. They got some of that. That's the real main of a Survivor Series ring.
What about Brock AJ?
Well, it's
yeah, it's, like it's hard to no one promotes it.
Well, I guess I just think with that one, like, A, I'd be kind of surprised if Brock, like, I see much more of the possibility of some weird finish, and I guess that's the thing, maybe, like, with respect to the matches that are coming, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have Rousey or Lynch lose just because of...
Nah, I'm pretty sure... That's the only argument against Rousey and Lynch going on last. That's maybe the biggest. Well, for me is I don't feel like they're beating Rousey.
Oh, no, not at all.
So, especially to someone that she's, a win that she's not going to be able to get back anytime soon. Yeah, so, you know, that match is, I think that result is not in question, but I think that, you know, I think that, once again, they're going to continue with the last week remaining to do good promos on each other, and I think the match itself will be excellent, you know. And then, with Brock and AJ, because Brock won last year, and then with AJ Styles, you know, kind of the defiant, just real, you know, and Styles had a good promo too. Talking about, you know, how he lost last year, then saying that he's going to beat Brock Lesnar, and then using Paul Heyman's own line about it being a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be entirely surprising. I mean, I don't know if this would be 100% clean, but it would not surprise me if AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar ends up with AJ Styles getting his hand raised.
I almost figured that's got to be a Roman interference sort of thing.
Roman?
I told Kevin before this I was tired. Strowman interference. I said it and went, that's not right. And I'm like, just keep going.
We need correctors.
Hey, bro, man. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That was a teenage
tag
team. Roman.
Oh, my God. Isn't one of them in NXT, by the way?
Yeah, Robbie E. Right?
No, I don't think either of them are in NXT.
Oh, I thought Robbie E was.
Yeah, I thought Robbie E got in NXT.
Well, I think. Yeah, well, Robbie E's kind of dropped. No, not really dropped off the face of the earth, but he still does independence and got a podcast. I doesn't really. Yeah, I don't know. No, Robbie E. Yeah, Robbie E's not in NXT, and Jesse Goddard, I think, went back to soap opera acting, basically. Yeah, I don't think he takes any dates.
Hey, good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, but yeah, no. Yeah, I think that there's definitely going to be a setup for a Styles win, unless, you know, maybe Brock. Well, that's going to be an interesting match, because last year, Brock let AJ Styles AJ Styles more than he's given anyone in, like, the last two or three weeks. He gave AJ Styles a lot of offense. But now we've got a Brock who, if he's looking at a UFC fight in February or March, he might not be willing to bump the way he bumped last year.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Well, AJ's got that reputation for being really, really safe, though. So,
yeah,
you know, it's like we already danced before.
Yeah.
Why are we going to take?
I don't know if they do the match again if they thought that Brock was going to dog it to that level. So, yeah, I, you know. Obviously, everything they do with Brock is approved by Brock, so he liked AJ enough to do what he did for him last year, so I guess I'll do it for him again. But the timing is intriguing, especially since how little Brock did at Crown Jewel, yet the only thing he took was a boot to the face, and he comes up from that boot to the face with a big bruise on the side of his face for the one thing Strowman got to do.
I did like Lesnar's expressions. Like when Corbin hit Strowman, he just goes, "All right, like not my." I like that it was like not my problem. Not like, oh, I'm gonna tear you apart now. I was like, well, not my problem. It's gonna take you out now. So I don't know. I just enjoyed that part of it instead of overacting and all that stuff that they want their people to do sometimes. Although, going back to Nikki Cross for a second, yeah, Kevin and I have talked about this before. Her crazy act, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't seem fake. Like, nope. It obviously is, but it doesn't seem fake.
No, it doesn't. She's really, really good. She's into it. She's in the moment. She is not pretending. She is not simulating being a professional wrestler or whatever it is that Triple H would say about CM Punk. No. Nikki Cross is Nikki Cross.
Well, even that, all that Aleister Black stuff, I mean, not once did that seem, like, forced. None of it. It was great.
But, Yeah, she.
Some praise on my girl.
It just cracked me up seeing old pictures. Like I know that I hadn't seen old pictures of her, just in her previous gimmick, like before the WWE, and it was just funny to see her in bright shiny colors. Yeah. Like, it was just such a contrast to what Nikki Cross dresses like. I was like, oh my god. Like, she just kind of looked like, shouldn't be in an offensive way, like Dakota Kai. she just looked like a bubbly personality that was ready to go and have fun in the ring. And now she plays a great psychopath. Because even the come out and play part, I thought translated pretty well, honestly.
Yeah.
To the main roster, or could, if she's gonna stick with that.
Well, I think it would also help if it almost seems like sometimes you're not allowed to acknowledge they were you can acknowledge they were in NXT, but you can't go through with any of the knowledge of NXT. It's like, hey, they're from NXT, and that's it. Then all of a sudden, like, Corey Graves goes dumb on the character. Or Tom Phillips, for that matter, even though he's not down there that much anymore. It's like, you guys know who it is. You know the character. Let's, like, get into it. But, whatever. I guess if it's a one-off, who cares? It doesn't matter. So.
No, yeah. But I agree with you. A lot of the NXT characters, honestly, have hurt from that kind of syndrome. Where they haven't filled in the character enough. Like, to me, you could honestly say that Bayley and Sasha Banks, for as long as they've been on the roster, haven't been fleshed out like they were in NXT. And what, they've been on the main roster 2.5 years or something like that?
Yeah.
That's just kind of an indictment on the writing staff on the main shows more than them.
Well, I actually thought about this. Was it Crown Jewel? Or was it... No, it was the Raw that I went to last week. There were almost no... Like, there were backstage segments, okay? But they were part of the story. There were no, like, backstage segments where it was like, hey, get to know this wrestler, or... Hey, this wrestler's character's this, or just something like that. There was nothing like that in a 3-hour episode. And that was crazy to me. I think the only one we may have had... No, it was just Leo Rush talking, and I don't know how they replaced Cena. But that was about it. And it's just such a weird thing to... Like, everyone just goes out, and you have to figure out what the character is. Like, isn't that what developmental's for? Like, they're supposed to figure out the character there, and then on TV, your writing staff and everything else is supposed to provide the story for the characters. But it's almost dead horse material by now. But it's just strange to me. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's not getting any better.
No, it isn't getting any better, and I guess you could talk about Sanity. Like, both Sanity and even Andrade Cien Almas. Like, I loved his match with Rey Mysterio.
Andrade.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Vince McMahon likes him in these losing efforts, what he's showing of him, but he keeps losing. To save money, they didn't even send Zelina Vega to Europe, apparently. Unless she's got an injury issue or she's sick or something, but on the surface, it looks like they just didn't think that she was important enough to pay for a plane ticket and pay her for the entire week.
It's this last batch of call-ups, and this is not breaking new ground, mind you, is an absolute disaster. Like, name anybody from this last round of call-ups that's doing anything worth a shit. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's
Elias is the last guy, and even with him, good lord, did like, I still am not completely sure where his character is. Like, he gets a shit ton of promo time, and I know what he does, but, like, it's another one of those, what are his real motivations in the whole situation? Like, is he literally just on a wrestling show to sing?
That's kind of where I think he's gotten to now. He's just a delusional guitar guy, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it isn't entertaining, because...
But he's a babyface now.
What, Chris?
But he's a babyface now, so he can't be the delusional guitar guy anymore. He actually has to be the guy who's actually really good at the guitar and really good at singing, because otherwise, what makes him babyface?
Well, he's a babyface because he beat up Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Man, that's literally it. But, he did not rip on the crowd, though.
No, he's not doing that anymore. So, he's completely playing along with the crowd. He's letting the crowd play along with him. It's the way it should go. He should be directing them like a choir, and he is. They've made worse decisions in recent weeks, so than trying him as a babyface finally after getting positive reactions for close to a year.
Yeah, but see, I kind of like the idea of trying it to where he is still the same guy. He still goes out, calls the city a dump, so everyone boos, right? But then plays a babyface while he's wrestling. Like, he's still fighting bags, he's still fighting heels, bad guys, whatever. But he insults the city anyways. Like, if he could turn it into, like, trying to make, like, a poignant point about, like, this city's, the sewage system needs an update because that's why you guys are all trash or something. People are like, what a poor example, but then some people could be like, well, yeah, he's got a point. It is pretty crappy around here. Just something. I don't know. But just for, like, that weird dichotomy where he insults you, but then you're expected to cheer for him. I just think that's kind of funny. So,
because it wasn't even like it was that long ago. Like, that Seattle booing that he got was, what, a month ago?
Shit, if that, yeah.
if that. I mean, it's kind of funny how quickly they've turned him back into a baby face. Or not back into, but into a baby face. But, I mean, you can kind of see that. We've talked about how quickly Carmella has made that change on previous shows, I think, with any number of hosts. Like, that is still something that is kind of mind-boggling, that she went from the most hated heel to fan favorite with R-Truth.
I think that's got a lot to do with the fact she's not the champion.
Oh.
People just didn't want her being the champion. And they wanted Becky, they wanted whatever else. So as soon as she lost it, it was like, okay, all's forgiven. So.
It'll be kind of interesting to see if Charlotte gets the same type of forgiveness.
Yeah, that's right. They kept her off TV this week. That's right.
Yeah, she's doing the thing where she's doesn't believe in herself anymore. She's lost. Granted, they only have one more week of TV before they. I guess they could just have her like show up at Survivor Series. Do the thing where keep her off TV one more week, and then do the thing at Survivor Series where her music plays maybe once, maybe it plays even twice, maybe and then the third time. The Raw team is confident that she's not coming out, and she finally does. I mean, I feel like Charlotte's story arc is, I guess for me, it's pretty obvious at this point. She, gets her groove back, gets some wins under her belt, wins the Women's Royal Rumble, and then challenges Rousey instead of Becky Lynch. It's obvious, or just what I would do.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but yeah, I mean,
it is one of two options. It's either that or the man finally gets her streak ended at WrestleMania by Charlotte.
I don't know if I want to see that match again, especially at WrestleMania.
If they're going
with Charlotte and Rousey, at this point, Rousey's not losing, though, and, you know, to get it to the other way, Rousey ends up challenging Charlotte for the SmackDown title after winning the Royal Rumble, I don't think that direction is going to go. So, as of now, that's... Granted, it's November WrestleMania fantasy booking, but
yeah,
you probably do. Then I'd say do Becky versus Asuka. Then hold that match off until, you know, Mania season.
Yeah, because that hasn't happened. That's right.
Yeah, no, that hasn't happened. I guess maybe you could do Becky and Naomi in the interim, or it's a Becky Asuka, you know, trilogy with the last match at WrestleMania or something like that. So that, you know, you need to get a match or two between them before.
See, I also wonder if at Survivor Series, if it wouldn't be, like, not smart, but if it wouldn't be the story to have Charlotte lose the match for SmackDown. Like, further the spiral a little bit, and then starting in December, going into November, going into Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, in your case, or your story. I don't know if that makes it worse because of shorter time, or I don't know.
I'm just thinking about the shorter time where she's back, you know, she's back on track. Yeah, I mean, but you could do it either way.
Yeah, I also love the fact that we're trying to come up with, like, we're thinking about angles or whatever for the women wrestlers too. So because way back there would be no hope that any of this would even happen, or the fact that there's actually a storyline for a woman, for that matter. So.
Yeah.
That evolution, I know we guys probably covered it last week, or you and Shahid. That evolution pay per view was so good, that which I think made Crown Jewel look even worse. To kind of like go back to that.
Yeah, well, not only did Shahid and I talked about it, but Missy and I talked about it too. It was all
That's
kinds
right.
of covered.
Forgot about that. Yes.
Well, which is I was rolling through my almost live, definitely half-assed review of Raw here. And speaking of other women having storyline, I was kind of interested in the fact that Natalia had something happen to her. Not that I think that her father's sunglasses were actually broken this past week, because I'm sure you could have bought another pair of them somewhere else and not ruined the actual pair.
How ballsy would that be? Like, that ballsy. How, like, really rude would that be if they were actually the real ones, you know? You know they're not, but it's like,
right.
Wow. Dad would have loved it. It was part of an angle. Like, hey, he is your dad. He probably knows, but you probably know better than he does, so...
Yeah,
that's not how I would have approached it.
I always love that answer. Like, oh, they're that dead person approves of this.
Yeah.
No matter who it is.
Yeah. It's what they would have wanted.
It's what they understand the business.
Yeah, well, I guess not more than I do, because I never mind. I'm just gonna be cruel. So
just. Why introduce these glasses in week one and then destroy them in week one? The live crowd wouldn't have even really explained to them what the significance of the glasses. So it's like, it got no heat in the building. There's no emotional attachment to these glasses.
And also,
where do they come from?
He's
been dead for 3 months. Where do these glasses come from now?
But it's also like, all right, like the glasses, I know they're a part of his ensemble, you know, the costume, you know, whatever. But it was never like, I don't know.
They weren't like,
Bret Hart gave away his shades, okay?
Oh.
So there's like some significance. Neidhart just had sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, it was not, it was part of his wardrobe, but it wasn't the piece of his wardrobe.
Yeah.
Like, the thing for him was his laugh.
Yes. Well, I do remember her saying, didn't she, wasn't she wearing his jacket as well for a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think the jacket actually may have been a better thing to ruin, but
that's actually a real, you know, cherished, you know,
so you gotta make up a fake one, of course.
Yeah, but. The glasses were probably bought at a airport gift shop. Yeah.
Yeah, or some Canadian, whatever, a Canadian convenience store.
I guess I'm assuming that they got them in England. That she didn't take her glasses, whether that wouldn't have been necessary. Not that that's like some.
Especially considering that they live in Tampa or Orlando. That would have been an awkward flight for them just to go to Canada to buy sunglasses. Hey, just swinging by here before I fly over to England.
Hey, it's Tim Horton. That's a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I was just saying, it's not like a Sheetz or a, what is it, Come and Go? Is that the one that was in Iowa?
Get and Go?
No, it was Come and Go. Oh, no. It was definitely Come, because I wouldn't have remembered if it was Get and Go. So.
Oh, yep. Yeah. No, Giant Eagle's gas station is Get and Go.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
We have a Quick Trip here. So.
Sure.
Yep.
Quick Trips in Wisconsin. I've seen Quick Trip. They're a nice little convenient place. I mean, Tim Hortons is like, yeah, it's, you know, it's the big Canadian coffee and donut place. You know, obviously they expanded to a, you know, a breakfast and lunch menu.
All the time I lived in Michigan, I never went to Tim Hortons.
Yeah, didn't.
Well,
there's also back when Dunkin' Donuts used to make the donuts fresh at the establishment.
I remember that. I remember the guy from the original commercials. Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, and you could just smell them. You could see the machines and everything. God, what a great time! Now they just make them all in the factory and they send them over.
Still not as good as Palcho's.
Where's Palcho's? What is that?
Hey, Kent.
I never got into those. I don't know why. I just.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
Are they still around?
No, they were not up there last time I saw.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know what I just said, but that's just me. So.
Those donuts were fucking awesome. Those were handmade, and they were quite tasty.
Yeah, there's nothing better than the fresh, like, right out of the fryer or whatever you want to, they come out of.
Yeah, usually a fryer. Anyway.
Have you seen air fried donuts?
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
exactly.
Just.
So.
I don't eat donuts often enough for them to not be fried. If I'm going to have a donut, that shit better be fried.
Yes. Yeah. I know we just digressed, but yeah. Donuts sound really fucking good right now, too.
Well, I guess I was trying to figure out what else there was, you know, maybe worth talking about from both Raw and SmackDown. Because we've talked McIntyre, we've talked Rousey, we've talked Becky Lynch.
You know what's funny with the Becky Lynch thing? I know, to hit her again. I remember reading an interview or listening to a podcast where she wanted to turn heel. And she said people will be completely taken by surprise when they see me as a heel. And I gotta give it to her. She's right. I mean, she's just great. And it's a totally different character too, which is even better.
Well, I couldn't believe that she was already like, I can't believe that those knuckleheads are still up at this time, because I was seeing her responding to stuff from Ronda Rousey, like, during SmackDown, basically.
They were going at it all day, basically, yeah. Back and forth.
And it's just like, what hour are you crazy people up at right now? Like, you're 5 hours ahead of us currently. Like, it is butt-ass early in the morning for you to be responding to stuff while I'm watching SmackDown.
Well, they're probably in an airport or whatever else, trying to get back. So I was like, what else do we have to do? That one kind of makes sense, actually.
Yeah, that could be quite true. I hope they're plugged in, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you have to have converters, right? So hopefully they brought some converters to the airport with them.
Well, they definitely have more of the world represented in the women's women's argument that we've just talked about than anything in the World Cup that was involved with that. I would hope maybe Becky Lynch would still have a few of those around from her days in Ireland.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, seriously, anything else? Chris, you got anything?
I think we're pretty good. I mean, we were all over the map, but we hit every state.
Yeah, I mean,
what
are we supposed to mean? Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know. I guess if we were like more singular in thought, then maybe we'd be different, but
well, I think we all kind of agreed that It wasn't that great of a week of shows, and England week tends to not be that great, so it's kind of hard to, you know,
do an hour and a half. From Crown Jewel to the European Tour weeks are never that interesting unless Enzo Amore was getting kicked off of a bus. Yeah. But we didn't
Real
hear about
quick, one, yeah. I did think of one thing, and I don't know if you saw it, and it wouldn't want to take long. Did everyone watch the House Hardy Halloween?
Yeah.
Okay. That thing was great. And the fact that he has a better mind for booking than the booking committee does is outrageous. Because when he went to Smokin' Joe, the kangaroo, and started talking to him again, and Hardy actually said, "I don't want to fight you again," I was like, "Are we going to do this forever?" I started laughing my ass off. I was like, "That's hilarious." The fact that one, that was not scripted. That was all Matt just going, "All right, look, I got to make some of this asshole kangaroo trying to kick me the balls all the time." And then, what was that, an emu? What the hell was trying? An antelope? What the hell? Was trying to smash him through the fence?
I think it was an emu. It's an emu or an ostrich, something in that large bird family.
Just great. It was great. And yes, they better do one for Christmas, so or whatever holiday one.
Oh yeah, I'd be good with a Thanksgiving one.
Oh yeah,
like,
she got Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't sound like they were going to do Thanksgiving. It sounded like they were going to go straight to a holiday special in December. I don't know if it would work as a weekly series, but
no.
Yeah, then you go to Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
The Valentine's Day special, and I don't know if we went. I don't think Easter's a good one. No. Memorial Day, Fourth of July special.
I don't know if the nine deities would appreciate an Easter reference. I mean, you would be kind of spitting on their proverbial spirit were you to invoke another god.
Question about the whole broken universe. Does Matt really have a zoo on his property?
We were trying to figure that out too.
And were those animals on the property every time they had explosions?
I'm hoping that they just know someone with a petting zoo in Cameron.
Yeah.
Because that is absurd that he owns a giraffe, a kangaroo, an emu. Like, I know the Hardys made money. They shouldn't have that much money. Because that's a lot of care. So
that is.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up real quick.
Plus, all the times they had all that pyro going off, there's no way you could. But then again, if these animals are somewhere in Cameron, every time they have all this noise going on from the compound, those things must be going crazy.
It's called Aloha Safari Zoo.
Okay,
good.
Maybe it's not even then. Oh my god, those things must be going crazy every time they set up a fireworks or whatever over there.
Oh, they got big ass boas. Yep, there's the giraffe. We're smoking Joe. Isn't the giraffe is George Washington, right?
Yeah, the giraffe is George Washington. Yes.
Grown ass man. The giraffe's George Washington, right?
Yes, we
yep,
all.
Okay. There's the emu or whatever trying to get him. Yep, there's the camels. Yep, yeah, that's the place. So it's Aloha Safari. All right, that does make me feel better because I'm like, wow, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of work to have a petting zoo on your property. So, but it also I like these things because the Hardys are clearly having fun doing this stuff. They keep getting their friends showing up, like Hurricane, who just now shows up and being the elite all the time as well. So, good on him.
Yeah, I don't. The guy, he's been in that. He's gotten time in Ring of Honor with Marty Scurll. I think he's getting more matches on there. It's just like, why are you. Like, he's entertaining on Twitter, but I'm like, how did you end up with this? And wasn't he teaching down at the Performance Center one week, too? Like, I'm like, what can't this guy do now? Like, this is so crazy.
Well, he started showing up during the Adam Page Murder Joey Ryan stuff.
Oh,
Gregory
yeah.
Gregory Helms. And he my favorite one was he interviewed Adam Page real quick. And then he goes, Adam Page walks away and he goes, yeah, that guy's fucking guilty. And that was it. And then he just started showing up in other episodes. So, again, good on him. I mean,
yep.
I don't know if he's getting the exposure or whatever else from being the elite. So, good on him. And these things now. So, whatever happened to Shannon Moore, by the way? And then we can get off the subject and get out of here.
Oh, he runs his own tattoo shop. And he still does wrestle. I've seen a couple of pictures of him. He is fucking jacked. Like, he looks better now than he did when he was wrestling. And I didn't think he looked like a chump when he was wrestling either. Because he posted a picture recently. I'm like, god damn, dude, you are ripped. So, yeah. Does the tattoo parlor. And I think he does some wrestling, you know, here and there.
Trying to look up a picture of my Google's like shit in the bed.
Oh yeah, I know that I saw it on his Twitter account because Stunt Granny follows it. So,
yeah. Well, he looks healthier. He's not all puffy like he used to be, so that's good.
Oh yeah, he didn't need to be the size that he was. That's kind of like. And not to extend the show that much, but Rey Mysterio is kind of another guy that's in that category. Like, he does not have that extra added weight that he used to have to kind of look like a bigger guy.
Yep.
He's ripped, but he's definitely slimmed down quite a bit from his
yes. And it's only going to help
runs.
Him.
Yeah.
So that's good. But other than that, I'm good. I just wanted to make mention that House Hardy shit was funny. So
okie dokie. Well, that's at Granny Mays. I'm at Defrango11. My Bell Time beer of the week. The wife bought a couple of 16-ouncers from Half Acre Beer Company in Chicago. And their double IPA is pretty damn tasty, and it doesn't quite have that double IPA funk to it. So yeah, if you can get your hands on that, feel free to do so. It's pretty good. There's a Siberian Husky on the, or a couple of Siberian Huskies on it. Their can artwork's pretty fun too. So, I will leave it at that. And, Chris, at Chris Calamy, take us, on out of here, good sir.
All right, everybody. This is another exciting edition of Stunt Granny Audio. great three-man booth this week. Any two of the three of us, possibly Shahid, possibly our new co-host Missy, any one of us, any two of us can be joining you next week. Maybe we'll do two shows, maybe we'll do three shows. As who knows? Later, good night. A couple weeks ago, you did do two shows.